Chapter 41. The modified heavy haulers could fit the entirety of 1st Platoon, but with the incoming reports of a Rupak craft capable of fooling the Badger's systems, Lieutenant Sherman split his platoon into 3 chunks, each in their own hauler. Things happened quickly. The Rangers scrambled from their positions, leaving Ohio thin but still protected by 2nd Platoon thanks to the combat outposts and other fortifications that had been set up. The team was in the air inside 15 minutes, which was good, but given the situation at Camp Muir, every minute was sure to count. Word came in as the haulers roared toward the Osei camp that the Rupak ship had been damaged and had left the vicinity. Sherman listened to updates flow between Lieutenant Harmon and Alexa. Everyone's primary concern, beyond maintaining control of the camp and keeping the civilians safe, was what the black-clad Rupak special forces were after. Alexa brought forth her opinion at the brief flight's end. "I believe Rupak is specifically after Brody," she said over the command channel. Lieutenant Harmon rallied Osei leadership to set up a defensive position at the reactor, initially thought to be their primary target, but no attack came. Reports are that they are searching the camp for a specific target, and disabling Badgers when they come across them, Reach added. They knocked out at least 2 before running up against Sergeant Stanga's team.
"What makes you think that Brody is the target?" Bosa asked.
The hauler skipped through turbulence as Sherman waited to hear Alexa's reply. "There are 2 groups of these soldiers. Brody encountered one and was targeted with a device that seems designed to shut down his android functions. I sent Brody off, and the team followed him specifically. He's what they're after."
"Why not let them find him?" Reach asked. "I've seen what Brody can do."
"As have we all," Alexa said. "But we have not yet seen what these Rupak soldiers are capable of."
"You don't think Brody can handle them?" asked Bosa.
"It is less a question of capabilities and more a theory. What if these Rupak operatives are associated with the same people who have been communicating with us via the array?"
"Quite a theory, but I don't see how," Bosa said. "Our communications with whoever's on the other side of those messages haven't even mentioned the existence of Brody."
"Then perhaps they believe they are chasing me," Alexa said. "I'll know for certain if my theory is true after Brody engages the next group."
"Either way," Bosa said, "we need to take them out. Sherman, I want you to secure what Badgers we still have operational at Camp Muir and bring them into the fight."
"Roger," Sherman said.
The Osei colony came into view, its crashed sections of Muir and Longmire now the backdrop for a substantial attack. Smoke drifted in the air, with clusters of casualties, Rupak and Osei alike, strewn everywhere. Several Badgers had been reduced to flaming husks. Though there were minimal signs of Rupak in the landing zone, the pilot brought the hauler down quickly and threw the doors open for Sherman and his Rangers.
"Let's go," he cried. "We got eyes on that Rupak ship making a return."
Sherman moved out of the hauler and looked up, but saw no sign of anything. He looked back at Sergeant Morales, who'd leapt down after him.
"Badger 3 is positioned behind that pod," Morales shouted. "Let's move."
They met no resistance as they ran to the vehicle. It looked a little dinged from a firefight, but it appeared to be operational.
"Morales, pick me a driver," Sherman ordered. "Keep the shooters outside riding on the back."
"Mikhail, you're driving," the sergeant shouted.
They loaded up the Badger and drove, kicking up rocks as they raced through the camp. Sherman watched the sensor arrays, taking care to make sure that everything was functioning as it should be. Things looked good, and with the other haulers landing the rest of the platoon in camp, it shouldn't be long before the Rangers had control.
"Badger 3 is secured and moving to relieve Badger 6, Sherman reported.
"Brody has drawn away the Rupak forces engaging Sergeant Stanga's squad," Alexa reported. "I need you to move to this location to support Brody. Expect heavy resistance." A new objective appeared on Sherman's screen. He forwarded it to the driver.
"Roger. En route."
"Hurry," Alexa said. "And watch for returning Rupak aircraft. It's paramount that we deny their exfiltration." Sherman turned to verify that he had a man on the guns. Everyone was where they needed to be.
"Roger. Out."
"Almost to the spot, LT," Morales said. "You want me to stop so the squad can dismount?"
"Not until we can see what we're dealing with."
Sherman pinged his squad leaders. They were on the ground and linking up with the Osei to flush out the remaining Rupak regulars, who were now isolated in small pockets of resistance.
Incoming RUPAC aircraft, Alexa reported. Do not rely on targeting software.
Roger, Sherman said. He pinged the Ranger on the guns.
Incoming RUPAC, manual fire. Take it down.
There it is, Morales shouted. Badger's 5 o'clock.
The RUPAC craft glided into the camp, flying just above the ridgeline. It was clearly headed for the same destination they were, but in order to reach it, it had to clear a section of Muir, presenting as juicy of a target as the Badger's gunner had ever seen. The gun's heavy fire roared toward the incoming RUPAC craft, which was already smoking from a previous engagement. The Badger raked the ship's underbelly, and it pitched to the left, did a half-spin, and fell gracelessly to the ground, clipping the edge of the Muir pod as it went down.
Move us in to engage, Sherman ordered.
They weren't going to get a larger distraction than a ship crashing down on its LZ. Time to press the advantage. Drifting in a hard turn around the obscuring pod, the Badger came into view of the RUPAC SF soldiers, who were still scrambling, having just avoided the crash landing of their exfiltration ship. Brody was with them, or at least, what was left of him. He'd been broken into pieces, disassembled. Sherman didn't have to issue the order to attack. The Badger's guns ripped into the RUPAC soldiers, shredding them, rounds passing clean through, and often causing secondary casualties through their grisly up-close work.
Dismount!
Sergeant Morales shouted. The squad of Rangers left the Badger to Lieutenant Sherman, his gunner, and his driver. As the Badger raked fire on the RUPAC soldiers, who did everything they could to find cover in the wreckage of their burning ship, Morales maneuvered his team to engage with 40-millimeter grenades. Sherman coordinated the rest of his platoon, who had by now finished off the RUPAC regulars, to close in on the area.
Support is incoming, Sherman reported.
Roger, LT, said Morales. We got them down to a small pocket, and they ain't shooting.
A RUPAC rifle was tossed up into the air, followed by another, and then two more.
They're calling it quits, Morales said.
Order them out, said Sherman. Badger's got you covered.
Morales shouted for the RUPAC soldiers to walk out with hands up. Bloodied and ashen, they obliged, standing meekly as one of the Rangers searched them and then sat them down, hands zip-tied behind their backs.
So these are the RUPAC Special Forces, huh? One of the Rangers asked his sergeant.
Morales nodded toward the Badger.
That thing don't care how operator you are.
A heavy hauler carrying Sergeant Tran's team arrived, landing just outside the crash zone. His Rangers mixed with the rest of the platoon, who were already securing the crashed RUPAC ship.
Looks like we're late to the party, Unga said.
Lieutenant Sherman stepped from the Badger.
Tran, I want your squad with me. We've got some things to square away with the Osei leadership, namely that this location is not defensible against attack if this is what we're up against. Though I have a feeling they'll have realized that already by now. Morales, keep your men here and guard what's left of Brody until a hauler from Ohio arrives to bring him back.
By implant, Sherman set the rest of the platoon to secure the remaining Badgers and have them fully crewed and operational. Then he began to catalog the areas of improvement that would need to happen to prevent a similar attack. More men on guard was the most obvious need, but the Osei men weren't sufficiently trained yet. Apparently, they'd lost their heads in battle and abandoned the Badgers, and bringing in more Rangers would mean leaving Camp Ohio at risk. Equipment was an even larger concern. If RUPAC had the ability to take down Brody, the best weapon they had, what did that mean for the rest of their equipment? Sherman shook his head. This enemy was nothing like the RUPAC forces his men had faced on Amir thus far. These new RUPAC forces matched the reports Reach had given. They were well-fed, well-equipped, and tactically capable. In short, they were dangerous. The game had changed.